Now, God had spoken in the Old Testament after he raised up Abraham and raised up the Jewish people. They are his chosen people. God chose to select them not because they were more godly or more righteous or anything. It's just that God chose them. It's his choice to choose them as his nation. And he raised them up through Abraham. And God had been with Israel and had spoken from Jerusalem for many centuries until they had gone into captivity. That's the place from, if God spoke, that's where he spoke from. And the Jewish people were his people that he spoke through. But now that they've gone into captivity and are to be scattered throughout the nations, God raises up Gentile nations. And we have, beginning here in the second chapter of the book of Daniel, the times of the Gentiles. And the first nation, of course, the beginning that times of the Gentiles was Babylon. There were four of these nations that were revealed to Nebuchadnezzar in his dream, which Daniel interpreted. The first world empire was Babylon, which was the head of gold of the image. And the second world empire was Medo-Persia, which when we move from chapter 4 to chapter 5, we'll see that transfer of power, or at the end of chapter 5. From chapter 6 on, we have the Medo-Persians in charge in Babylon. But the second empire being the Medo-Persian, that's the silver, the chest and arms of silver. And then we go from that to the Grecian Empire, which is the third, and is the belly and the thighs of brass. And then the Roman Empire, which is the legs of iron, and then we have the feet, which are iron and clay mixed, which is yet future. All of the empires have already existed, except that last part of the Roman Empire, the rebuilding of the Roman Empire, where the feet are part of iron and part of clay, and the stone cut out of the mountain without hands, which speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom, will crush that in this second chapter. They crushed the image, ground it to powder, and that will take place, of course. And then that empire or that kingdom will never end, the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the final world empire, when heaven rules on earth. After Daniel gave this interpretation, he was promoted. And then in the third chapter, we have, in each of these chapters, we have Nebuchadnezzar having to recognize the God of heaven, but not willing to give him the glory and honor as the only God and the one who ruled in all the affairs of men. And so in the third chapter, we find him lifted up with pride because he is the head of gold, and we see him making an image and requiring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and all of the other people to bow. Well, they refused to bow, and as a result of that, they were thrown into the fiery furnace, and Christ appeared there with them, and they were delivered from the fiery furnace. And as a result of that, Nebuchadnezzar made a proclamation in the verse 29 of that third chapter. He said, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. He didn't say there were no other gods, just that there were no other gods that could deliver after this sort. And so this decree was made. Now, by the way, you get a picture in the book of Daniel about how the righteous are to live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We find the righteous here standing up, even if it cost them their lives, refusing to bow, refusing to give in, and letting God take care of looking after them. And that's the way we're supposed to live in our generation. We're supposed to stand up for Christ. We're supposed to be true to him regardless of what it costs or regardless of what happens to us, and let God be responsible for our deliverance, for our safety, and for our provision and everything else. And so we find here in the times of the Gentiles. In other words, we still live in the times of the Gentiles, and we will until Christ comes back to crush those armies that are gathered together to destroy Jerusalem there at the close of the tribulation period, and sets up his kingdom upon the earth. In other words, we are still living in the times of the Gentiles. And so in the book of Daniel, we find out some things about how the righteous are to live during this time. Now, in the fourth chapter, and we'll pick up there tonight, we've already had a great deal of this chapter, but we're going to just read through the chapter and make some comments as we go here in the fourth chapter of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. One of the things that Nebuchadnezzar was proud of and famous for was the peace he had brought to the world. Now, he'd brought that by conquest, by taking over and controlling with his armies and his power, but he had brought relative peace to the world. So there in the times of the Gentiles are periods of time when there is relative peace, although it is not the standard throughout the period of time, for Scripture tells us there are wars and rumors of wars and will continue to be until Christ sets up his throne. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, then, this fourth chapter is his personal testimony. It's the testimony of a heathen king, and he tells about his conversion. It's a tremendous story and account here in this chapter. He said, I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Now, it's quite a different Nebuchadnezzar that makes this statement, and we're going to find out what happened to cause him to have such a change of heart. He gives this testimony, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. Now remember the last dream in chapter 2, he had forgotten, and he wanted them to tell him the dream and then tell him the interpretation. Now in this case, he tells them the dream, and they still can't cook up a good interpretation. All these astrologers and soothsayers and so forth, even with him telling them the dream. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy God. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy God is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed by it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher. There shouldn't be and in there. It's a watcher and holy one. In other words, probably an angel came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree and cut off Now, it's interesting here. In the King James, we have cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, and scatter his fruit. And the fowls from his branches. But this should be its. In other words, we change to his down in the middle of verse 15. I show you when we get there, when the whole thrust changes in this from the tree to the man. And as long as it's a tree, it should be its. And when it shifts and shows the tree now as a man, then in the language it should be, and in the original it is, it changes to he or him. So let's read it that way in verse 14. And he cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree and cut off its branches, shake off its leaves, and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts get out from under it and the fowls from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of its roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field. Now then it shifts right here. And let him be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the field. You see, it is his in King James, beginning with that last, his portion, but it should begin with the one even before. Verse 16, let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times or 7 years pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent. Now here is a very important aspect phrase right here. This is what it's all about. That the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest, or this would be the humblest, of men. Not so much the idea of bad men, although many times they are, but it's men who do not have a background or history of theocracy in their family. You know, in other words, they're not necessarily children of kings. Matter of fact, Nebuchadnezzar's father made a great point. Napalasia, I guess is the way it's pronounced. But anyway, his father made a great point in his writings and in his time of telling the fact and that he had no heritage, no background. He was a humble man from humble birth and humble lineage and rose to the place in power that he was. As the father of Nebuchadnezzar, he had begun to build this great empire, although Nebuchadnezzar is the one that really put it on the map and made it the greatest of all nations. So this is the point that God is making to Nebuchadnezzar and to all men, that the living, people who are alive, may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. God rules in the kingdom of men. When we get a president, God puts him up there. It may not even be the one we like or we voted for, whatever. But God puts him in office. And whenever a king is put on the throne, God puts him on the throne. Now, for the most part, the rulers of the world that sit upon the thrones are not generally good men. Matter of fact, you go through the history of the kings in the Bible, all the kings of Israel were bad men. Not one of them did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And very few of the kings of Judah. A few of them, it says, they were good men. They did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But there are very few men of history that were really good men, godly men. Most were men who were not godly or good men. But regardless, God puts them on the throne, regardless of who it is. He's running affairs, and he's bringing this thing down to the end just like he wants it, and he's putting on the throne who he wants on the throne in order to make it happen. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Now, then Daniel, name was Belteshazzar, was a stone. In other words, he was just out of it for an hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee. He said, let this dream be to those who hate you, king. In other words, this is not I don't have a good report to give you. I wish I was giving it to your enemies. I wish this thing that you've told me about was going to happen to your enemies. And the interpretation thereof to thine enemies is, I wish that it were to your enemies than those that hate you. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation, it is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw, and it doesn't mean that Nebuchadnezzar had traveled to the ends of the earth and conquered all the ends of the earth. It just means that he had conquered all that was known, and he could have conquered any of the rest of it if God had wanted him to conquer it, because God had set him up as the ruler. Verse 23, and whereas the king saw a watcher and holy one, or holy watcher, coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let him be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field, till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, the kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Now, he had been known as a king who was rather ruthless and not very kind to the poor or anything of that nature. So Daniel's admonition to him is to break off his sins by righteousness and being good poor. Not that it would keep this from coming upon him, but that it may lengthen the time of his peace and tranquility before it did come. So that closes the conversation, and Daniel leaves, and then we move ahead a year. So the next verse, we are a year later. If we had a script and all, we would say 1 year later, you know, and then show the picture of what happened. And this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. Now, there were several palaces that he had, at least three. Most believe that this palace was the palace that had the hanging gardens in it, which was considered by the people of ancient time one of the seven wonders of the world. They had some kind of contraption that would draw water up from the river Euphrates, and these gardens were hanging up there above, and they would be watered by this contraption that was designed to bring water from way down in the Euphrates and bring it up and water all the plants and so forth at a right time and proper time and so forth. Quite an engineering feat. as well as a horticultural feat, I guess you might say, mind some of those things that you see and they tell me you see in Epcot Center or something of that nature. But it must have been quite a thing. And the king's heart is lifted up as he walks there in his palace. And that palace was higher than the rest. And up on top of that, you could see the whole city with all the temples he'd built to his god, some 17 within Babylon alone. And the other palaces and all of the great city that he could see and the great wonders out there as he walked upon it. Notice now in verse 30, the king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" Get that. I have built my power, my majesty. His heart's all lifted up with pride. You know, pride is one thing that God hates. We read of more than that he hates in the scripture, but that's the first thing. A proud look. God hates a proud heart. Pride is the symbol of godless man. In other words, it's the thing that man is saying, I can do or I have done this myself. I have done this myself. I can do this. I can do that. And boy, do we see that today with all the mockery of God and the jokes that are, they get ranker all the time that they make against God and blaspheme his name and so forth. And his heart was lifted up with pride. He saw no need for God. Now remember, he's been told a year ago that this is going to happen. He's forgotten that. He's had a year without it happening. It didn't happen immediately, so it's not going to happen to me. You know. Now, it says, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men. Thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar had to admit that he had not done all these great works, that God had chosen to do them through him, that God had put him up there, God had given him the office and the power that he had and so forth. Now, the same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails were like bird's claws. Now, there is a disease, a mental disease that records have been kept of. It's called lycanthropy. A disease in which it's a case of insanity where a person acts like a wild beast and yet the victim still retains an inner consciousness. From the cases that have been, they're very rare cases, but you have a copy of this Most High God. It gives you some illustrations and indications of that. But it sounds like that disease from that standpoint. But whether there was a disease like that or not, it wouldn't make any difference because this is what God did to him. And this is, in other words, he was insane. He was like a beast and he ate the food of beasts and lived like a beast. So therefore, he was put out of the palace, probably kept in the palace grounds and things of that way and maybe protected. But there have been cases where people have been like this and they would go out in the yard and eat the grass, you know, live like an animal and eat the grass in the field. Yet, as I said, these cases, there is still an inner consciousness, doctors report, from the cases that they've had of these things. And that does seem to be, there was some kind of an inner consciousness still with Nebuchadnezzar for him to be able to lift up his eyes to heaven and to recognize God. So he says in verse 34, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. What a difference in the testimony now of Nebuchadnezzar than previously when God had dealt with him. He had given some recognition of certain powers or abilities God had, but now he recognizes him whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, his kingdom from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? In other words, he recognized the God of heaven as the absolute, true, and living God. At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Even more than he'd had previously, now that he has recognized God. Now, notice this verse 37 as we have close of this chapter in his testimony. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. Not the King of earth. He made me that. And yet, this is the greatest king that ever was, with more power than any king ever had. And yet God brought him down. And he says, I honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. What a change, what a testimony we have here of Nebuchadnezzar. And this, the first king, strongest king, the most powerful king, of the times of the Gentiles. So God showed what he could do even in this greatest of kings' lives. All right, next time we'll go into chapter 5 and we'll have Belshazzar, who is a great grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. So we're jumping quite a few years here in time, although there were two or three kings. It's not that many years because two or three kings came and went after Nebuchadnezzar died in a hurry. And we'll see the handwriting on the wall and what God did in this particular case to those who took the vessels from the temple that Nebuchadnezzar had brought there from God's house and drank wine in them and praised the gods of gold and silver and so forth.